You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Have your Bibles with you. If you would turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. We come this morning to be a blessing to the veterans and those who not only gave their lives but willing to give their lives for their country. Second Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1-4, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who he hath chosen to be a soldier." And I would like to preach from this thought: a good soldier from boot camp to the battlefield. From boot camp to the battlefield. There's a story of a pastor that had preached a message similar to this one on Veterans Day to honor the veterans. And as custom, he would, at the end of the service, go to the door. And he would greet each member as they left. And as he was surveying the room, he noticed a man that he had not seen in quite some time, a member. When the member came up, he grabbed him by the hand and pulled him to the side. And he said, you really need to consider joining God's army. And the man said, "Pastor, I thought you knew I am in God's army." And the pastor said, "Well, I haven't seen you in a while. And the only time I see you is on Christmas and Easter." And he said, "Pastor, I thought you knew. I'm in the Secret Service." And that's like some of us. Some of us are in God's Secret Service. Some of us have come in here under disguise, incognito. The sad reality of it is that you leave out of here in the same condition. Because folk ought to be able to look at you and know that you are in the army of the Lord. The problem with the church as I see it today is that the church is at war, and most of the people in the church don't even know it. Not even aware that there is a war that's going on around us. It is crucial that every Christian understands that he or she is in a spiritual battle. You're battling sin. You're battling Satan. And you're battling this world system. Because this world will have you to believe that what you're fighting for is unimportant. That it has no real relevance in our time today. But understand that we're all soldiers in the army of the Lord. You've been drafted into this army that is a spiritual army. And every war that is fought, every battle that is won, will not be won with bullets or rifles. It won't even be fought with your words, but it'll be fought on bending knees. Be fought going before the Lord. We have a capable enemy in Satan himself. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians, it calls him the prince of the power of the air. And he operates in an atmosphere where he influences other people. He controls other people. But the good news is that he can't control me as a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because I've got a purpose. I'm a soldier. And if anything, I know something about being a soldier. When I joined the military, I would love to make you think that I joined out of patriotic commitment to God. But if I be honest with you today, I joined the military because I needed a job. At the time, Reaganomics was going on, and jobs were scarce when I got out of high school, so I needed a job. But there's something that happened that I noticed that when I got into boot camp, that I learned some things in boot camp that would carry me throughout the rest of my life. And one of the greatest things that I learned was commitment to a cause. I learned endurance and how to put up with difficult situations and circumstances. I learned to keep on marching no matter what. Yeah, in boot camp, the design is to break you, that they might make you over again. It's to train you for warfare, to get you fixed to go to battle. They teach you how to handle your weapon. That was a difficult task for me, because at the same time, they got tracer rounds going over your head, which tells me to tell you that even when you're on the battlefield, there's folk that are shooting at you. The Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So the whole time I'm fighting, I realize that Satan is trying to kill me. And understand that there's no greater motivation to fight than to stop from being killed. So I realized that. A lot of the stuff in boot camp didn't make sense to me. I couldn't understand how they would bring me in, put me on this cattle car that they haul cattle in. And the minute you get off, you got drill sergeant in your face cussing you out. Couldn't understand the logic behind that. Couldn't understand them shaving my head bald. But I ain't got no other choice but to shave it bald. That was the prophetic side of boot camp. They knew that eventually I would go bald. But I remember going in terrified. I was from Detroit, but I was terrified. And that was the objective, is to get you to a place to realize that you're really nothing. God's boot camp is the same way. Because God wants to get us to a place to where we realize that we're nothing without him. And it's only then, and then only can they begin to develop some things within you. Because that's how boot camp was. I remember when they taught us how to shoot the M16 rifle. They said all the people who have fired a weapon on this side, all the ones that have not on this side, and they had determined that we who had never shot a rifle before were far more advanced than those who had shot a rifle. Because understand this, that when you're handling your weapon, there's a lot of bad habits that you can use. And so they no longer had to destroy those bad habits in order to teach us what we needed to do. And that's what Paul tells Timothy in this text. As a matter of fact, if you look at the first Epistle of Timothy, he warns Timothy to continue in sound doctrine. Because that's our weapon, is sound doctrine. when we hold fast to sound doctrine, that is our weapon. We pray on our knees, and we fight with the word of God. You remember when Jesus came up against Satan, he used the word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So that's our weapon. So my question to you is, why you keep fighting the wrong battles with the wrong weapons? That's one of our biggest problems. We're steadily fighting folk and fighting people. There's something good about fighting against other people, getting other people told. Well, don't you know that God can do it better than you can? God will fight our battles if you let him. But you keep getting in the way and won't let God do what he's going to do. The church is at war. We don't even realize it. The enemy is advancing, and we become ill-prepared to do anything about it. Look at Paul declares in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, listen here, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I don't know, did anybody ever dealt with a stronghold? I've had some strongholds in my life. I've had some things that have held me back from doing what God has told me to do. I've had some circumstances and situations in which only God brought me through. There was no other way to get through it, but God did it. Here he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In our own strength, we are incapable of fighting the enemy. So therefore, we need to be trained. We need some basic training. We need boot camp. Boot camp or basic training separates us from the world. For a strict regimen of endurance, it is designed to break you that it might make you over again. As a matter of fact, when you go to boot camp, the first thing they do is give you a haircut and a uniform. Because there's something about changing the way you look. Something about a soldier wearing a uniform. Soldier wearing a uniform to increase his identification with fellow soldiers and their mission. One of the biggest problems, what I heard from Vietnam, and I'd never been to war, but talking to some war veterans, they tell me that one of the biggest things was that the uniforms between the Viet Cong or Charlie and the North Koreans was that the uniforms were too similar. So you didn't really know who the enemy was. The problem is that a lot of times most of us don't know who the enemy is. We don't know who the enemy really is. And one of the biggest things that they taught us in basic training was how to recognize and identify the enemy. You need to know who your enemy is. You need to be able to identify him. But understand this, that everyone that has on a uniform ain't necessarily a soldier. Did you get that? Everybody that puts on a uniform is not necessarily a soldier. Because if you back up into the first chapter of this text, Paul warns them. He warns them of traitors. There was a spirit of, here you go, Jason, perfidiousness in the camp. What perfidiousness, it means they were faithless. They were betrayers. They were of disbelief and dishonest in their dealings. And what Paul is telling him is that even in the face of these traitors, even in the face of these ones who have pretended to be on your side, you still got to remain strong in the Lord. In other words, Paul, don't give up. I mean, Timothy, don't give up because the haters are going to come. Don't give up because the naysayers will be there. Don't give up when they turn their back on you. You just keep on marching forward like you've been instructed to do. So there are some traitors. There are those who have deserted their post. And understand that under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, there is a penalty for desertion. Because desertion means to abandon your post. There's lives that are at stake when you abandon your post. There's lives at stake when you give up on the cause. So he warns them, even though there are some traitors, we've identified the traitors. We know who the traitors are. But don't you give up. Yeah, they're wearing the same uniform that you have on. But they're really not on God's side. In other words, there's some folk that's sitting here in this church today that have put on the uniform of God. But they're not necessarily in God's army. Not necessarily on the Lord's side. Because if they was, they would continue with us. John said they went out from us that they might show that they were never with us in the first place. Spirit of perfidiousness. Traitors. Ones who had deserted them and had given up on the cause. Yeah, these traitors had infiltrated the church, had come in, and now they are deserting their posts. Military terminology of desertion is the abandonment of your duty or post. But then there's AWOL, which is a little different than desertion. There's some folk that have went AWOL. And understand that AWOL is not as bad as deserting. Because people who go AWOL have an intention on coming back. They just don't know when they're coming back. And there's some folk that have went AWOL in the church. You plan on coming back. You just don't know when. You know how it is. You miss 1, 2, 3 Sundays. And you have every intention on coming back. But until you come back, you're AWOL. Deserters have no intentions on coming back at all. Several different things that will cause a person to desert his post. And one is fear. But the scripture said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So there's nothing for me to be afraid of, because I got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. My commander in chief is the ruler of the universe. So there's nothing for me to be afraid of. Timothy says, in 1 Timothy 4, it says that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is one that has traded sides and gone over to Satan's side. So Paul encourages young Timothy to be strong in the grace of Christ. And then he charges them to commit themselves to pouring himself into others, just as Paul had poured himself into young Timothy. And that's what we really need today, is that we need men that are going to pour themselves into other men. And I'm a product of that, because my pastor poured himself into me. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for all that he's done in my life and how he's poured himself into me. And I've noticed that I'm doing the same thing in teen council. I'm pouring myself into young men. I'm getting them to understand the value of being, or what a man really should be. And I understand that their time is a little bit different than my time. But one of the biggest things I find with young men is that I have to tell them, stop pouting so much. Men shouldn't pout. Men need to stand up and be men. Listen. Even if you ain't a man yet, you ought to look like one. Sometimes a look can scare people off. You know, I mean, you ever run into a bad situation and you just look tough. Sometimes it can be a deterrent. So we need to understand that we're in this army. There are four things that Paul deals with when it comes to being a good soldier. The first thing is that we must be dedicated. If you're going to be a good soldier, you must be dedicated to the cause. When you're dedicated, that means that you're sold out for the cause. That means that you're fully committed to accomplishing the mission. And our mission has been to go and preach the gospel to this dying world. That's been our mission. And we need to be dedicated to what we believe. Because what is dedication without commitment? We need to understand that we must come together. So you ain't got time to spend too much time in AWOL status. Because here's where the training goes on at, right here. This here is the training ground. This is basic training right here. This is your boot camp. And when you leave out of here, that's the battlefield. And if there's anything that I wanted coming out of boot camp, I wanted to be prepared for the battlefield. I couldn't tell the drill sergeant, oh no, I'm not getting up this morning. I'm gonna take the day off. Man, I wish I would. There's an agenda to where they prepare you just in case you went to war. They trained you, but they also brainwashed you. And this is the part that most people don't want to talk about. Because honestly, if need be, I would have died for my country. I had no problem leaving boot camp and going into any battlefield and giving my life for this country. But I came to realize, just like Reverend Register, this country did not appreciate the service in which was given. I sit and I talk to Reverend Register, and Reverend Register blesses my soul. There's some horrors that he can tell you that really will prick your heart. But you've seen his dedication. You've seen his commitment. You've seen him never give up. And he realizes that he's here by the grace of God. The second thing you must do to be a good soldier is that we must be durable. In other words, we must be pliable. You must be able to make adjustments. Because everything is not going to go your way. Everything is not going to go as planned. You see, you can't script out a war plan. Because once you hit the battlefield, conditions change. And so a good soldier must know how to make adjustments. Must know how to put on the right gear. He must know how to put on cold weather gear for the winter. And warm weather gear to keep him warm. But he also must know how to fight the battle because the conditions change. A good soldier is marked by his separation from the normal life. A good soldier realizes that this is not a 9-to-5 job. There's times you're going to work more than just 40 hours. You see, because once you become a soldier, that's who you are. And so you're a soldier 24 hours, 7 days a week. You've got to be durable. You've got to be able to withstand sleepless nights. There's time that guard duty would run over. You don't get much sleep, but you still have to get up and make formation the next morning, because that's what soldiers do. And if you're ordered into a dangerous duty station, it is expected that you put your very life on the line without hesitation. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness, to endure suffering. That's what that word hardness means. It means suffering, which is another term we don't like to deal with, suffering. And if you're going to be a good soldier, you must be durable. The third thing is that we must be deliberate. Paul said, no man warreth, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. A good soldier is not distracted by all the things that are going on in life. When I left and went to boot camp, I didn't take mama with me. Didn't take any of the siblings with me. I realized that my focus must be focused on the task at hand. And much of the same way, there's some time that you must avoid distractions, even in God's army. Because there are a lot of people that would love to distract you from the goal in which God has given us. There are some that want to distract us from completing the mission in which God has given us. There are some distractions that could result in us being hit by fiery darts. You got to be focused if you're going to be in God's army. Distractions could make us a target for spiritual assassination. Yes. And even distractions can come from within. So we must be deliberate in what we do. And the fourth thing is that we must be delightful if we're going to be a good soldier. He tells Timothy to be a good soldier, that you might please the one who called you to be a soldier. And the only way to please him is to, by faith, stay on the battlefield. Don't abandon your posts. Be pleasing unto one, the one who called you. And Paul closes out this letter with his own personal testimony. You see, because Paul had been on the battlefield for quite some time, Paul had done all that he could for the glory of God. And at the end of Paul's road, Paul died with dignity. Yes, Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Listen here, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Listen here, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, come on now, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And that's where I come in at. Not just to Paul, but all of us can die with dignity. We can die and leave this earth knowing that we've done everything that God has assigned our hands to. We can die knowing that we're on the battlefield, that we're dying with a purpose. And whereas Paul died with dignity, Jesus died with a purpose. Yes, he did. He had a purpose in mind. You see, because the cross was his battlefield. Yeah, everything that was necessary for it to be a battlefield was right there at Calvary. There were other soldiers there. There was weapons, the nails and the spear. There was violence. But listen here, the most important thing that was at Calvary was the blood. There was blood on the battlefield. Yes, he shed his blood for me. He gave his blood for me. There they hung him high and stretched him wide. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he died just for me. but he died with a purpose. He didn't die just by accident. He came with a purpose, and he died on purpose and with a purpose. He died for me that I might live. But listen here, not only did he die for me, the record declared that he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. Yes, he did. He did it for me, and I'm glad about it. And that's why Paul can say in 1 Corinthians 15, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But oh, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain. So I'm not just a soldier just to be a soldier. I got a crown coming. God's going to give me a crown for my service. I've served my country, but I'm serving God now. And many of you can see, I've changed my uniform. I used to be in battle dress uniform, but this is my new uniform that I'm in, a soldier of the Lord. I'm on the battlefield, and I'll serve him until I die. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.